And the following program is paid for and furnished by its producers, hosts, and sponsors. And with that, we say it is time for Michael's Gifts with your host, Roxanne Watson, and a whole bevy of people on the phone waiting to talk to you.
I'm on my regular one. Hello, everybody. Happy birthday, Michael Bovill. Wow, what a response, guys. Over 1,000 messages already, and the show didn't even start. The lines are completely full. I don't even know how we're going to get anybody else in. But, you know, just a beautiful response for a beautiful, beautiful young man who saved so many of us. And we're all so grateful for the gift of life. I want to say a couple of things before we get started, because like I said, the lines are full. If you can't get through, I'm sorry. But they're full. We want to say next week I will not be on the air, but Live On New York will be commandeering the show because I am going to get oral surgery on Monday, and I don't think I'll be able to speak on Wednesday. But the show will go on, as it always does, and it'll be, you know, covered by Live On New York. I don't even know what to say. I'm just, you know, this show and our anniversary show are always the most special shows to me that we do every year. And we've done it for a couple of years now, good to say. And as many of you know that follow us on Facebook and Twitter, Monday was Michael's birthday. And it's still his birthday. We celebrate his birthday every year. Because it's a special day for a special guy. Steve, how many can we get on at once?
We have all full, four now.
Okay, and all four of them can get on, if possible? Yeah. All right, let's get them all on. All the lines are full. So let's start with one of those Bovilles out there. Who's out there?
Hi, good morning, Roxanne.
Hi, who's this?
That's Mandy. How are you?
My girl, my sis.
How's my girl doing?
She is doing fine. I mean, wow, what a response we have had to this show before it even started. 1,000 birthday wishes. 1,000
awesome.
Birthday wishes for Michael. That's just from Monday till today, and it's still coming. Because
awesome.
Everybody knows Michael is the man.
He sure was. Absolutely. I think Justin's here, too.
Yep. Good morning, Roxanne. How you doing?
Hey, where are you?
I'm at the training center, Cape May, on the Coast Guard base.
Okay, awesome.
Hi, Roxanne. It's Marissa.
Where are you?
I'm in New Jersey. I'm in my home.
Oh, you're at home. So these, as you guys might know, these are the Bovilles. They're my sisters. Those are my sisters and my brother-in-law out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's so awesome. Talk to me. Tell me what you want to say about your brother. Anybody? Marissa?
Oh, yeah, I'll go.
Go.
Well, I wanted to say, Michael was so caring and so fun. And loving, but he was like, you know, your typical older brother, and he teased us, you know, he was good about that, but he always was really inclusive, and mm-hmm. I thought that was really cool. He always wanted us to be together, just be a really fun family, and that was always our fun goal.
Mm-hmm.
But that just reminds me of how you are, and how you're just so inclusive, and you want to love on everybody, and you make everybody feel so special, whoever you come in contact with. It's just it's amazing.
That's why we matched, huh?
That is 100%. I'll agree.
Yeah,
I will agree.
Yeah, yes. I know, it's so special.
What do you miss most about him?
Oh, I miss his smile. I think he was always smiling. I mean, everybody can say that, but I think us as a family, we knew it the best, you know, and it lives on, you know, it lives on through you. It lives on through the other four recipients. And it's amazing to keep seeing that.
Somebody in one of the Facebook pages asked, did he have a girlfriend?
He did, but he did not have a girlfriend exactly at the time of his accident.
Okay.
So, but they remained really good friends, and they were still, like, really good friends. We actually still, like, keep in really close contact with her. She lives in Alaska now.
Oh, nice.
Her current husband works for law enforcement out there, and so it's actually one of those cool things that will literally just, like, catch up, like, where we never left off. You know what I mean?
Right. As soon as you see him or talk to him, it's like nothing ever happened, right?
Exactly. Yep. Which is really special.
Because that came from one of the transplant pages. They saw a picture of Auntie Susan and Mike, and they were like, I know this guy. He had to have a girlfriend.
He definitely did. He probably was... I mean, let's be honest, you probably know the agenda of why he didn't at that point in time.
And like, look at that beautiful boy.
He's so cute. He was so cute.
Where's your father today?
I hope he's trying to get on. Justin can only stay for like a minute, so if he can stay, or if he can like
go
say something real quick, and then maybe somebody else can get through.
You got it. So. Go, Justin.
Yeah, so... So, like I said, I'm on the training center regiment right now, and I'm looking out the window where the reviewing stand is.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we graduate the recruits, and it was pretty cool because last year I was able to track down some archive footage, and I was able to pull up the graduation of Michael's company.
Wow.
I believe it was Victor 182.
Wow.
181.
And it was really neat because at the end where they give the graduates their certifications and we ship them out to the fleet, you're able to see Michael lined up and receive his recognition for graduating from the Coast Guard basic training.
Wow.
Yeah, that was really neat.
Because I've seen the still pictures, but never.
Yeah, and, you know, I think, you know, one of the things I could certainly say is that being a part of this family, that I think Michael and I would have been best of friends.
Yeah, I think so too.
everything from our military service to our faith in the Lord and, you know, motorcycles and fast cars.
Roxanne, we didn't tell you, Justin just got a motorcycle.
Oh, no.
Trust me, I know.
Oh, but listen, no. Wait till he leaves and bash it up.
No. We are going to have peace that the Lord and the guardian angels are going to protect him because that's what's going to happen. We're not going to say anything else about it.
I hate you. No joke. I have to tell you, when this happened, and my brother found out about Michael way back when we met you guys, his bike was retired. That was the end of him and the bike, you know. He had bought a brand new BMW bike, a beautiful bike, and that was the end. That was the last ride he took. Because I always remember what your mom told me. Always remember what she said to me when we first met. Please don't get on a bike. That's what she said. I still remember that to this day when I met you guys down in the city.
You know, with the irony of all that, both my mom and dad had motorcycles, and my mom's very first vehicle was a motorcycle, believe it or not.
Oh,
so the rebel's not too far from the tree, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Roxanne, I wanted to thank you for having me on, sorry I have to run. But
Go to work. Go to work for the country.
Well, God bless and take care, and good luck with your surgery coming up.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be exciting. All right. Thanks, Jess.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Maybe John is out there trying to get through. John, if you're out there and you're listening, keep trying to get through. There's one line that's open now. And Mark's out there, right, Mark?
That's right, Roxanne. I'm right here.
Okay, hop in here.
So I'm very excited about the rebirthday party in celebration of Michael that we're going to have on August 26th in New York City with Roxanne and Deanna and Scott, three of the recipients of Michael's organs. and many members of Michael's family have agreed to attend as well.
We are so excited. We didn't get to do all the things that we wanted to do last summer because of this stupid COVID. So
no. Hey guys, did you know that is actually my daughter's birthday?
Oh my goodness! You're coming, right?
We're coming.
Awesome.
We're coming. And
hey, family, how are you?
His birthday.
Hey, John's on. John's. Hey, how you doing?
I am good.
The whole family's on. I'm so excited.
Oh, that is so good. Hey, that was all lit up. You couldn't even get on.
I know. It was like, and I don't know if you were listening. We have 1,000 messages.
Wow.
1,000 messages for Michael for his birthday.
Yeah. Jelaine's in the other room listening.
Okay, good. Good. Awesome. So hop in here. What do you want to say?
Oh, man. What a celebration. You know, I can't wait for just getting together with everybody and having the promotion of the book that Mark wrote. And,
yes.
Wow, it'll be a wonderful day.
Yes, I am definitely looking forward to it. Whatever day it is, it's going to happen. And Mark did such a great job on that book. If you guys out there don't know what we're talking about, we have the book, and I'll put it back up on Facebook again today and on Twitter. Mark Juddleson wrote a book about Michael and all the people that received and all of the clinicians that were involved, very thorough, and took a great, nice chunk of time to get it right. So we are definitely going to be promoting that book again this summer. We're going to do a big splash in New York City, and we're going to make sure that whoever didn't get it the first round is going to get it the second round.
Mm-hmm. If there's anything that we as a group of people are, is relentless and vigilant.
They know us. We will never go away.
Yeah, it's really tell you a story about what happened, a conversation that I had with John recently.
Mm-hmm.
It was the night after I had gotten confirmation from Live On New York that we could schedule the rebirthday party.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up around midnight and had this opportunity to do some thinking about what we could have on the program that day. Mm-hmm. On August 26th. And wrote down some notes, and then about 1 o'clock I went back to sleep and had a dream that I was performing a one-man show, and the audience was really unruly and not listening,
mm-hmm.
not participating and resisting the story. And this man in the audience stood up and had a presence about him that was so powerful that people quieted down.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say in the dream what happened, but that the man's presence, I don't think that he said any words.
Okay.
But he had a smile on his face that was reminiscent of all the photographs that I've seen of Michael smiling.
Mm-hmm.
And the audience quieted down, and then we continued the performance, and there was a good exchange between me and the audience. This was followed by a scene of me running, jogging in a unknown city. And I was confused about where to go, and I was going down a street, and the same man who had appeared in the dream in the theater appeared on the street, and he said, he saw me running, and he said, "You don't want to go down that street, you want to go down this street, because otherwise you'll end up exactly opposite of where you're headed for." And it was the same man who said very little and was just there when I needed him. I had a sense, because of his smile and the tone when he gave me the direction and the way that he intervened in my being lost, was that it was Michael who was coming to me in a dream. John had a different interpretation, which perhaps John, you could give yourself, and I accept both of them.
Hmm.
Sure,
John,
that's one way I think.
Go ahead, John.
Oh, I think that's one way that our God, our Creator, kind of communicates with us through dreams and through some visions, and not to get too spiritual or anything, but
mm-hmm.
who knows, that could have been the image of Jesus, you know, guiding us and guiding Mark through that time frame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. There's so many things that have happened to us spiritually. And like I told it when I tell Michael's story in public, all of the donors, I mean, all the recipients, we were all different religions.
Sure.
All of us. And it was no one. It wasn't, we were Catholic, we were Baptist, we were Jewish. We were everything.
Yep.
We were all the major religions. And so many times in my experience that I have had, you know, feelings of Michael that might have been, you know, might have been spiritual, might just been, you know, having the...
an inkling.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. You know, and just so many times. And when I tell some of the stories or some of the experiences that I have had to audiences, I mean, people are floored, you know. People are just floored. We still tell the Home Depot story. And every time we tell, every single time we tell that story, we have just laughter, just people laughing and smiling, you know, and saying, you know, like, because so many people, when I first told those stories, especially at the clinician level, they were like, oh, no, it's not possible. It's not, you know, they're going to be real scientific about it. Organ donation, yes, it is scientific, but it's so much more than that. It really is.
I mean, doctors can't explain miracles that happen every single day. You know what I mean? Like, this was literally a miracle. And, like, every one of the surgeon teams, every single one of the recipient teams, you know what I mean? Like, they're all, and the recipients themselves fit perfectly. The recovery time, I mean, there's just so many different miracles that happen. You know what I mean? With yours, like, yours especially.
Yeah.
So, 100%, it's like, it was God ordained, like, no matter what, like, all throughout, you know?
Yeah, and the story never gets old, ever.
No.
Okay, I think it's getting more powerful, tell you the truth.
Absolutely, for sure. I'll never forget the time that you told Dr. Oz, I think you're wrong, sir.
I still, to this day, people are like, you got a lot of nerve to go on Oprah and tell Dr. Oz, and he don't know what he's talking about. But he doesn't know what he's talking about. I told him, and the next time that I met him, I told him again. He's like, oh, okay, you know. Okay.
Yeah, what a great story. I think it bridges not only the over the scientific part of it, but it goes beyond any realm of prejudice, right?
I mean,
look at the people that Michael left a gift to, and it crosses all the barriers of of different nationalities. It's such a beautiful story and an image of that the gift of life. And that's why I think organ donation is so important. For those that don't understand, please do your research and look into it. It's an incredible journey and a wonderful gift that literally saves lives.
Yes.
You give the gift of life. Others can continue.
It is.
The gift of life.
And you and for you people that think it's only deceased donation, I have to brag always on my girlfriend Marta, who is getting ready to give a kidney. We have her to somebody she doesn't even know. She doesn't even know the person. She doesn't know the person. But
that's
She's in line this week. She just finished her testing, her COVID, and everything else. We have our fingers and our prayers for her because she's been trying to give this kidney away for a year.
Wow.
Yes, it's powerful. And we were definitely going to have her. Actually, we were trying to have her on the show next week because she's supposed to give it on Wednesday. Yes, it's just amazing. So this goes everywhere, you know. You guys can help people while you're living. It doesn't have to be deceased donation.
Absolutely, for sure.
We're going to take a commercial right now and come back, and then we're going to pick you all back up and go commercial free for the rest of the day after this one. Hello, how are you doing today?
Roxanne Watson is on a mission.
Are you an organ donor?
She wants more people to register as organ, eye, and tissue donors.
Yes, I am.
Yay.
My goal is to sign up the most people in the United States.
What drives her? Roxanne's own life was saved through the gift of a heart transplant, made possible by an organ donor.
I decided that day that I was going to devote myself to the cause of organ donation and signing people up and honoring my donor by doing that.
Now she's back to health, and she's a powerful force helping to save lives every day through her work. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life.
8 people can be helped with the major organs, and up to 50 people can be helped with a little bit of everything. And when you think about it that way, that you could help that many people, it's amazing. It really is.
Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Hello?
Hi, Roxanne. My close friend just got an organ transplant. We all want to sign up as future donors. How do we do that?
That's easy. The Rockland Organ Donation Alliance, called RODA, that's R-O-D-A, has a website for it. Go to rodany.org and click on the box.
That's all? Go to rodany.org and click the box?
You got it. And someday in the future, you can become someone's champion.
Yep. And we are back. Thank you, guys. We are back today. Today we have a very special... We have a special show every week on Michael's Gift. There's no question about that. But it's always super special for me to have my donor family and Mark with us to, you know, tell their stories. You guys hear my story all the time and all kinds of media and everything, but what an amazing thing to be able to, I'm always blessed to know my donor family. There are so many people in our community that don't have that, you know, that don't have that privilege, and it is a privilege, and they want this, what we have, so we are just a lucky bunch, the whole bunch of us. Mark?
Yes.
Hop in. Give us a little anecdote.
You know, I'd be interested in asking the group of you the same questions. I wonder for Roxanne how for you having the heart of a man changed you. And I wonder for Michael's family, when they see, when you see Roxanne, do you see parts of Michael?
I still eat butter.
I still eat butter. Well, I'll tell you right now, Michael liked butter too.
I know. I remember you said he could eat a stick of butter. We just laughed.
I know. I think for sure. I mean, if you don't mind, I'll go first. I genuinely believe yes. Like, it doesn't matter. I know Michael was a man. You know, he had a very healthy heart. He was very active. He was, you know, military personnel, firefighter, you name it, all the things. But that physical side, I mean, you got that. Like, whether you wanted to inherit that or not, you did.
Yeah.
So we'll just say that. But honestly, personality wise, like, I think, again, going back to what I said before, it's like this was totally God ordained. Like, you literally, you have the same personality as him. And I think that that was just such a beautiful, like, perfect fit. Do you know what I mean? And the fact that you are so much like him, it's, like, just not a question. Like, and it's just, it really isn't. Like, it's just, it's amazing for us as a family to see somebody who's so outgoing, somebody who's so bold, somebody who has all, like, you know, all these no insecurity. Like, I mean, I'm sure you do, but you don't show them, girl. And
give me a microphone or a camera, I'm okay.
That's right. And that's exactly how Michael was. You know what I mean? He was very bubbly and personable and loved people and just, like, had a heart of gold. Literally had a heart of gold. And that heart of gold was just given right to you. And we see, I mean, I could speak for our whole family. Like, we see that. Do you know what I mean? We see
absolutely.
The very, very same characteristics. And, like, We thank God for that. Like, we're very, and it really does help with, you know, we're thankful that it went this way.
Yeah.
So.
Obviously, you guys know that I am.
Thankful. We couldn't be more grateful for you, Roxanne.
Thank you.
You really resemble his heart in more ways than one. I mean, you really just power through everything, and
you're amazing, just like he was. And
thank
we love
you.
To see that live on, and it's amazing.
Yeah, we got work to do. Michael told me. We got work to do. I never, you know, like I always tell people about how this came to, how Michael came to me before I even knew him, before I even received. I was in the hospital bed. I think I honestly was on probably about the 65th day of the 104 days I was there.
Wow.
I don't know what it was, because, you know, when you say God, people go, source. I'm going to say source. A source came to me in that bed, and I was like 95 pounds, couldn't walk, couldn't eat. I was in really, really bad shape, and really, as my doctor said, on my last leg of life. Something came to me in that bed, in room 8, Montefiore Medical Center, and it said, what do you want, basically, it was asking. And I said, if I lived, and I received the heart of anybody at that point, that I had work to do. I had work to do to make sure that nobody would ever go through that again, if possible. And
yeah.
It was just a sense of, I said, I talked to the doctors and the nurses, and I said, what do we have to do to make this better? And they said, simple, get people to sign up. That's it. And my life was simple from there. And when I met you guys, it became even simpler that I knew exactly what I had to do. And
well, I'm telling
more.
You right now, your work is just, I mean, we can't describe the work that you've done. It's so honorable, and it's so special. And we recognize that. We see that. And literally every single time I tell anybody about our story, when I describe you, I describe you as you literally dedicated your life.
Oh, absolutely.
You dedicated your life to organ donation.
Absolutely.
And that is just, that's priceless. It's priceless.
We are proud to say we are 88 people away from 12,000 signed up in Michael's
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Signed up 25 last weekend at the mall. We had in the mall, people don't come to the mall to sign up to be organ donors. But Rhoda, all the politicians and everybody in the county was there, and we were chasing people. people through the mall. We were outside of Nathan's just grabbing people.
Well, that's one of the reasons why you needed Michael Stronghart. Not only is a beautiful personality that goes along with you, you just definitely needed that strong heart to
I did,
keep you going.
Especially after what I had.
So,
honestly,
I
have to say, with your personality, it makes somebody who's very skeptical or hesitant to sign up, because you are so gracious about understanding where they're at, and you're able to articulate and explain what organ donation is.
Yeah.
And you encourage them to sign up because you have such a warm heart about it. You know what I mean? And you've helped genuinely people understand.
And we still carry that picture every place we go. And that
Amen.
Always, that's on every table we do. I carry it every day of my life in my little bag. And
one of the greatest joys that I had gotten to do was when Mandy and I were sitting on the bench in your backyard.
Oh, my God. Don't make me cry. I said I wasn't going
to
cry.
And I got to listen to that beautiful, strong heart.
Come on, Dad.
My God.
Listen, that heart was beating so loud and so strong. And at that point, you know, Mark asked the question. I don't look at it as gender or, you know, male or female. I look at it as such a beautiful, loving gift that he has given you. And I see Michael through you, if that makes sense.
Oh, it absolutely.
I don't look at it
as. That's the way it is. That was an amazing day. That, and for you guys out there that don't know, that we were blessed with a backyard makeover from George to the Rescue on NBC, and part of that was a surprise. I mean, the whole thing was a surprise for me. They just said, we're gonna fix your backyard, go away and come back in 2 weeks. And we have a beautiful bench, and it has, in honor of Michael Bovill and the dates of his life, that was given to us as part of that show. On that bench, I had the honor to sit with Michael's father and his sister and everything, and they were able to listen to Michael's heart. And I still remember looking over at the deck and seeing Jelani sitting on the deck crying. I still to this day remember that. It was powerful. Yes, absolutely.
It was powerful.
Absolutely. That was the most powerful.
Without a doubt. But honestly, like, even just seeing, like, you know, documentaries on, you know, transplants or whatever, it's just so amazing to see that organ taken from one person and put it into another, and mm-hmm. it's completely, you're how many years alive now because of that, you know what I mean? And
exactly.
It's just, it literally, I can't just I'll describe it any other way. It's literally a miracle.
Yeah,
miracle.
And I was really on death's bed. Our surgeon, Dr. D'Alessandro, is now up in Boston running, heading up the transplant program. And, you know, I always remember him for telling the story of, he came to visit me before he was leaving. He came and had a confidential conversation. He hadn't even told his colleagues at that point. And he says, "We're not supposed to have favorites, but I want to talk to you." And he told me that he was leaving. And, you know, of course, I'm in tears because this is a person who saved my life. And he said to me, he said, "What I want you to do is continue to do the work that you do." He said, "I'm a surgeon, and I could save maybe two or three people in a day. Maybe if I'm lucky, I could get through 24 hours of surgery." He said, "But what you're doing will save hundreds of thousands of lives."
Absolutely.
Wow. What an image.
Wow. I still remember because, you know, you think this doctor, he's so powerful, and, you know, he had all of these, you know, all of this talent in his hands that he could sew a heart into a body. And I remember that conversation that he said, "You just keep doing what you're doing."
Yes.
And if you
I think a few other people have favor on you too, Roxanne.
I know, I was
going to
say that too. Like, how could you not be somebody's favorite? It's like blatantly obvious. You step into the room, but again, that's how Michael was. You know what I mean? He stepped in the room. It's like the room lights up a little bit more just because of who you guys are and your personality.
We've had we have support from all over the world. I know you guys listen to the show, but we have people from all over the world that listen to this show because they want to hear the stories of the people themselves. We make sure that it's about not about the clinicians and the doctors. We have very few of those, almost none. I think we've had maybe three or four doctors in the whole 2 years that we've been on the air. But this is this is the story of our stories, the donor family stories, the recipient stories. That's what we do here because
that's
what's important.
That's what people connect with. When you're out in a public atmosphere and you tell a story, I think that's the connection that people receive and want to get excited about and sign up.
Yeah, exactly. Because they don't want to hear it from somebody who performed the surgery.
they want to hear it from the person
that gave or the person that received.
Yeah, they don't want to hear the science behind it,
No.
even though that's intriguing and cool and whatever. But people want to hear what they can relate to. You know what I mean? And this is something that they could relate to. This is something that you, me, anybody can do. You know what I mean? You don't
Absolutely.
Have to be a special person. Anybody can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I mean? So, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And Mark, you want to jump in here?
You know, if people are interested in the story and all the people who, there are 26 people who were featured in the book, all centered around Michael and Michael's legacy. The book is called Pulse Legacy, Transcending Life and Death. And you can go to michaels-legacy.com and see photographs and videos of the Beauvilles and Roxanne, hear previous radio programs, and today's, as soon as Roxanne sends me the link, we'll go up on that website as well.
We'll have it by tonight.
Press reviews and individual reviews of the book and how to purchase it. So it's michaels-legacy.com. And then you could really hear the stories of all the folks who you've been hearing about on this program.
And some of the stories that I didn't even know until I read the book.
You know, one thing that I didn't include in the book, Roxanne, was that Dr. D'Alessandro told me that he has your photograph in his office.
Yeah, he did.
Wow.
He did. When I walked in there, there's a picture of me holding Michael. Right in the middle of the wall. And I said to him, you're not supposed to have favorites. Yeah.
He said, you're an exception, Roxanne.
I'm allowed, right?
Yeah, let me encourage you guys to reach out and grab that book. It's a beautiful description of just a lot of love, a mm-hmm. lot of sacrifice, many, many backstories. And yep. Mark did such a wonderful job describing and pulling out the very intimate part of that whole process. Mm-hmm. And it goes deep, and it's a good read. So, yeah, let me... you want encouragement? Read that book.
Yeah, Mark is going to put all of that information back up on my Facebook page and my Twitter page, and we'll make sure that everybody will share it in the in all of the transplant groups. Again, we'll do that again for sure.
You know, I did not receive any of Michael's organs, but I've really immersed myself in his life and
the
lives
that story,
though. Were connected. And what I've found for myself is that I smile more.
Mm. Well, we need more of that in this world today, right?
Yeah, we sure do. We really sure
more
do.
Love.
Mark, you played a very intimate part as well, Mark. You may have not gotten or received an organ, but you did a beautiful thing by not only, you know, letting everyone know and hearing all their stories. You put it in words that mm-hmm. most people can't.
Yes.
It's just a beautiful way of how you wrote and the way it was described and yeah. the stories that were told. What a beautiful image. So yeah. thank you.
I fancy myself a writer, but there's no way I could have wrote that. It's just too, you know, it's just too emotional. I was too close to that. You know, I have since written different articles and stuff, but I could not have done that comprehensive work that Mark did in that book. It's just amazing.
One of the doctors asked me, I forgot what the doctor asked me. Oh, yeah, one of the doctors asked me when I was doing the interviews when the book was going to be published.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I was hesitant to say that there was going to be a book at that point because I was just gathering information and I wasn't sure
mm-hmm.
that there really was a book there. And then that night, I had a dream and heard what I perceived to be Michael's voice.
Mm-hmm.
Many people had done impressions of Michael. I knew he smiled a lot and that there was a kind of playful lightness to his voice. And his voice said to me, "It's good. Do the book."
Mm.
It was after that
wow.
that I
wow,
felt a
wow.
comfort and assurance that it was the right thing to do.
Got you.
Yep.
And Mark, and for you guys out there want to know a little bit of backstory, Mark found me. Actually, I wasn't looking for Mark, but Mark found me, and I could see it was a twinkle. I could see that little twinkle. I didn't know what he was going to do with the story, but I knew the story would be safe with him. Because, unfortunately, there are some people that always like to take advantage of people. And with such a powerful story, I am very guarded as to who I allow to tell this story. Because some people, I mean, we, at the beginning, we had one person that wrote an article that John thought was horrible, and I thought it was horrible, because the person made it all about race.
Right,
and
right.
And we were so disappointed at that point, you know. At that point, I just told, I'm not talking to anybody, because I was so upset about that one particular article. But then, you know, people that we trusted came and, you know, and said, we'll tell the story, you know, we're going to tell the story the way you want us to tell the story, and then if you don't want us to tell the story, once we write it, we won't print it, you know. So when Mark came and said that he wanted to share the story, I felt good, you know. I felt like, yep, he really wants to, you know, he wants to get it right. He took the time, he came, he visited with us, he spoke to everybody, so we felt safe in sharing the story, and I'm glad that we did. I'm glad that all of us
yeah.
did.
Yeah, we definitely had peace about it, for sure.
Good.
That's definitely, yeah.
Because
you had
know.
a wonderful memory. I think it was a year later, we had a get-together at the Montefiore Hospital and got to meet some of the people there, and
mm-hmm.
Scott was there. And it's been a year since his operation, and he got a double lung transplant. And they were so excited, they came up and asked Jelaine and I if they could name their child after the memory of Michael. And we all hugged and wept, and a beautiful thing. And, you know, 9 months later, we were invited to the naming of the child,
yes,
which
the
is
name
a
is
very
ceremony.
A very important Jewish culture,
yes,
if I can speak for them. Mm-hmm. And what an honor to sit in the synagogue and listen to the rabbi just share and talk about their history of the Jewish culture, along with now she, this little girl, will remember the legacy of Michael. And what that was so powerful.
Her name is Michaela, so, right?
Michaela, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, Michaela is going to be there on August 26th.
Oh,
according
my
to
God.
Yay! That's so awesome.
Wow.
Awesome.
Wow,
so awesome.
Bring the tissues, please.
Oh, yeah.
We have a story to tell, guys.
Yeah.
If y'all are available, it's August 26th, right, Mark?
That's right. 1 to 3 at the Live On New York offices in Queens.
Yes, that's right. They're in Queens now. They're not in Manhattan anymore.
Right.
You know,
it'll be a wonderful celebration.
Somebody else who's going to be there who you haven't met yet is Diana Flores Moran.
Yes.
Who is the recipient of one of Michael's kidneys.
The little
and
girl.
Right. Yes, we have not met them. Right.
Actually, wow. someone who is, let me get it right, the friend of the aunt, her aunt, actually got in touch with me. I haven't gotten in touch with her yet, but got in touch with me to tell me about her.
Hmm.
You know, because I didn't know anything about her either.
Wow.
And they got in touch with me through Facebook and said, you know, this is what's going on with her and everything, and how she's just, you know, she's a little teenager.
Mm-hmm. See, they all have stories to tell as well.
Oh, so absolutely.
That is how it's all connected, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, they're all relatable stories that you could, you know what I mean? If you're a part of this process, that's something that you could experience for yourself as well.
Absolutely. This is a story that's going to, as they say, it's going to go on. We have like about a minute or two before we get ready to go off the air. Just jump in, anybody, with anything you want to say. It's your show.
Thank you so much for having us, Roxanne.
Sure.
This is a huge privilege and an honor to be a part of. You are doing amazing work. I just want to keep encouraging you because, again, like so many people have signed up, and one day they will be organ donors, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. they will be able to, like, give life
yes.
to somebody else.
Let me hop
and
right back. Let me hop in for seconds. There's been a couple already.
Yes.
There's been a couple already that have passed since they signed up in his honor, and their parents and girlfriends and stuff have gotten in touch with me to say that they went on to save lives, too.
Amen.
And that's what it's all about,
mm-hmm.
right there.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, Roxanne, thank you for
You're
your
welcome.
Dedication and just the thorough enthusiasm that you always bring.
It will never
what
stop.
A blessing. And it is an honor. I can say this as a dad.
Mm-hmm.
It is an honor to see the life of Michael to live on.
Mm.
And especially to such a beautiful person that has the passion to continue to give that life. And get that message out. So
I got the best part, remember.
Yeah. Oh, you're amazing. And Mark, thank you for putting in words that very few people could do.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for expressing all those stories in such a powerful way.
Mm-hmm. And guys, you know what the story is. Just get out and sign up. Marissa, you got something to say?
Well, I just want to touch base back on what I was saying before. You make everybody feel so inclusive and it just feel so loved. Cause you bring out that smile of Michael's and you're amazing. And everybody that I know, and we love you so much. Your family
you.
To us. And,
thank you.
That means
don't make me
more
cry now. Come on, I made it all the way through the whole show.
So there got to be a tear in this story. You know what I mean? Here and there, there's got to be.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Hey, my mother of 95 is listening, and my sisters are all listening in. They went on the web and looked up the website for the radio show, so they're all listening.
Guys, just for me,
Aunt Sue
to all
here.
Of you.
Aunt Sue.
Who's there? Sue's there too.
Yep, she's online too. Listening. I don't know if she got a chance to call in or not.
There's no more lines. It's full. Every time we put that picture of Susan and Michael up at the graduation, that's when we get the questions about, did he have the girlfriend?
Oh, that's right.
Because that picture is just his favorite so name. Handsome. He's so handsome in that picture. We get it every time we put that picture up. I want to say to all of you guys, thank you for being part of my life. Really, thank you for being part of my life. And thank you for making that decision to give me life and give life to the other four.
Oh, that was Michael, but we will accept it. We love it. Thank you.
You got it, babe.
Yes, we wouldn't have it any other way. We support it and we agree. Agreed.
That's a good thing. Thank you guys so much. We got to go now. Get out of here. Thank you guys out there in the audience for whatever we're doing. And we got a little dedication here for Michael.
Hi.
Do you know Michael?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yes, I
know Michael as well.
And you know what?
What?
I think it's his birthday.
It is his birthday.
Happy birthday, Michael.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Michael. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Michael.
That's so cool. We'll see you next week, guys. Take care.
And if Roxanne's not here next week because of oral surgery, you will have people filling for it, correct?
Yep, from Live On New York. Yeah. We'll be here next week to do this show, one way or the other.
You got it.